Well, in 2 more days, fictitiously, we will have come to the end of dealing with COVID. I use the word fictitiously primarily because although we've been through a time of, in a period of trial, I want you to understand that trials don't stop. There'll be ongoing trials. They come in different shapes and forms. They're not always, in fact, you've had to deal with trials from outside and trials from inside. Some of it's been related to relationships in your family, some of it's related to your workplace and so on. Nonetheless, 2 years have passed, and so we're left with the question, now what? Often during times of trial, times of challenge, you find yourself saying, okay, I'm past that. I wonder whether we ever get past a lot of things. Seems that God is permitting all of these things in our lives to shape us, like the potter and the clay. How do we reflect? Where do we get perspective? Chuck Swindoll wrote a book some years ago, and he had an illustration in it that I'll share with you. It's entitled Clear View from Mount Perspective. He tells the story of a young co-ed young lady who had two problems common to many students, low grades and no money. She was forced to communicate both the fact that she had low grades and no money to her parents, who also she knew would have trouble understanding where she was coming from. So after considerable thought, she used a creative approach to soften the blows of reality, and she wrote, Dear Mom and Dad, Tim caught me on that one, duh, yeah. Just thought I'd drop you a note to clue you in on my plans. I've fallen in love with a guy named Jim. He quit high school after grade 11 to get married. About a year after, he got divorced. We've been going steady for 2 months, and I plan to get married in the fall. Until then, I've decided to move into his apartment, and I think I might be pregnant. At any rate, I dropped out of school last week, although I'd like to finish college sometime in the future. Whew. Turn the page over. Mom and Dad, I just want you to know that everything I've written so far is in this letter is false. None of it's true. But Mom and Dad, I just want you to know that I got a C in French. That's true, and I flunked math. And it is true that I'm going to need some more money for my tuition payment. Oh my goodness, things that people come up and create, right? Even bad news can sound like good news. 2 days from now, you won't have to wear a mask. Isn't that good news? Huh. But there's certainly plenty of bad news to go around, isn't there? What has really changed in our world? People still need the Lord. People are still leading complicated lives, making choices that aren't honoring the Lord. We'd have to admit that whenever we hear bad news like this young lady who shared with her parents, although she confessed it was all wrong, and there was still bad news. But again, much of life depends on where you're coming from as you and I face different circumstances. Swindoll goes on to say, the secret, of course, is perspective. What is perspective? Obviously, it's related to the way you and I might view things. The term literally suggests to look through, to see clearly. I wonder how well we're seeing. One who views life through perspective lenses. The Bible that you hold in your hand or have on your electronic device is a lens of perspective. You need to look through it. Looking through the lens of perspective has the capacity to see things in their true relations or relative importance. You get to scope in on the big picture. We get to distinguish the incidental from the essential. Rather, the temporal from the eternal, the partial from the whole, the trees from the forest. And as we look back, one overriding thought eclipses all others. And it's not very new, not very profound, but few would debate this truth, that life is short. Life is short. Looking ahead, we discern another very singular message. Life is uncertain. A single objective, or pardon me, adjective, could precede most every event in the future. Everything that happens in life, yours and mine, is unexpected. These two perspectives, life is short and life is uncertain, certainly seem to express the fact that life is to be taken seriously. Isaiah 64, verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down, and the mountains trembled before you. And since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, Yahweh, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are your people. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Father, we come this morning together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We believe that we're coming to Mount Perspective. Yes, Lord, we know that life is short, a vapor. In fact, this next hour is still uncertain, and much that takes place in our lives is unexpected. And yet we admit, Lord, there's a lot that goes on that was done in the past. We also confess that we're frail, and we often lose perspective. And we confess, Lord, that often we don't learn from the mistakes of others or even from our own. We humbly ask you, Lord, to continue to be patient with us, continue to love us, continue to show your mercy upon us. Help us, Lord, to realize that what we actually have and what limited time we have is a gift from you. The light has shone, and we get a chance to share it with others as, Lord, you bring change in our hearts. So transform us this morning as we read your word, as we meditate upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. Life is to be taken seriously. In light of the last 2 years, many have planned to do things maybe slightly differently. Maybe we, since we were isolated so much, we might open our homes a little more and be a little more receptive. Maybe we'll plan things differently. Maybe we won't get so occupied with so many things, but we'll prioritize, do things better, with way more intent. It's true that we might like things to be done differently, and it's true that we could say that we'll do some things differently, but we don't really know. Yesterday tells you what you did. Yesterday speaks about how you did it, why you did it, and how well you did it. Tomorrow doesn't tell you that. Tomorrow only tells you what you want to do, how you might want to accomplish it. But the accomplishing takes time, intentionality. And so as we come to Mount Perspective, we take inventory. We might establish some new goals. I will be different than I was yesterday. But all of it is simply as a result of looking back and learning, hopefully learning. 1945, the world was looking back, basically even prior to 1939. For those who may not be aware that 1939 was the commencement of the Second World War. Little did the world know what it would be facing. It was met with the unexpected, time and time again. And the world decided it would learn from its failure to get involved, to speak up when they should. They thought that this next generation will do it better than the previous one. Surely we could learn from our mistakes. Looking back, God has been at work in each of your lives, each of our lives in these past couple years, seeking to shape us through a crucible of pain and disillusionment. Seeking to shape your life, my life, to accomplish his purposes. The disciples didn't expect the crucifixion, much less the resurrection, much less the grace and the love of God. The illustration of the potter and the clay that we read in Jeremiah, not new. The scriptures are full of illustrations of God shaping the lives of Peter, lives of people. I could certainly say Peter at this point, but I was thinking Joseph, actually. Things that God permitted in his life. Where are you in the potter's hand? As you would read Jeremiah, read the book of Isaiah, you want to turn to one more passage, Romans chapter 9. By the way, these would be three passages that you would want to maybe remember, tie them together, put them in the margin of your Bible. Romans chapter 9. Verse 14. What shall we say then? Is God unjust? After all, he allowed us to go through a period. Global testing. Well, you could deny that if you'd like. I wonder how the church has fared. Globally, of course, let's not focus on here. After all, we're all so united. We just get warm and fuzzy as we look at each other. There are no family divisions. There's no discrimination. There's no criticism. We just move on. Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. One of you will say to me, then, why does God still blame us? For who resists his will? But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does the potter have the right? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery of noble for noble purposes and some for common use? What if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath, prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory, even us, you and me, whom he also called not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles? Jeremiah, yeah. Go on down to the potter's house, Jeremiah, and I want you to see three things. I want you to see the potter. I want you to see the wheel. And I want you to see the clay. In the potter, we can see someone who has a design in mind, who is intelligent, and who has purpose. And the potter, of course, is a picture of God. What about the wheel? What could be the significance of this wheel? Spinning wheel, the old song in 1960s. New Age song, actually. In the wheel, we see this instrument by which the potter seeks to shape the clay in order to fulfill his purposes. God has a purpose for your life. But the wheel actually represents all the circumstances. And as it turns, it takes time. And see, circumstances and time that God permits to shape your life. What about the clay? Oh, I got that one. I know I'm the clay. Are you? If you are, then you are prepared to be shaped by the things that God permits in your life. The last 2 years have been a strain, but you'd have to admit that it wasn't just the last 2 years. God's been shaping your life all of the time that you've been on the wheel. He's been permitting things in your life all throughout this time, seeking to shape you into the shape that he has in mind. I'd have to admit that I haven't always appreciated his hand on my life. It's so humbling. When I look and I begin to realize I'm not really turning out what I see Scripture wants me to be. The potter, the wheel, and the clay. We'd have to say that these observations about these three items is universal for all of us. And it is the principal relationships of the potter. I'm going to use your life. I'm going to shape your life. Now, are you willing? The wheel and the clay are universal for all time as it relates to God's working on us and in us. The potter's intelligence, knowing already the end from the beginning and yet seeking to use your life not only to shape you, but to use your life to shape others, your children, your neighbors, your co-workers. Again, on Mount Perspective, and as you reflect back, you say, Lord, I wasn't always cooperative. Don't give up on me, Lord. We're often reluctant to allow God to have authority in our lives, as it would mean that something has to change. I know. But I don't know as I ought always. I'm coming to understand that I am fearfully and wonderfully made and that I am known by God. And so often, in spite of my failures, He can still use my life. In spite of your failures, He is using your life. Somewhat uncomfortable to be shaped. We lose sight of the fact that the potter also speaks of God's interest. God has an interest in your life. And He's done everything to make it possible for you to turn out so that you would be conformed to the image of His Son. The wheel, incidental. God could have done it many different ways, but time and circumstance are incidental to the purposes of the potter. It will take some of us more time than others. For some, it'll take more pressure, more difficult circumstances in our lives. How willing are you to be molded? I've discovered, at least in my life, although I would say in a moment that I want to be shaped, I have to confess that much of the time I'm reluctant and I find the process very painful. Confessions from a piece of broken pottery. G. Campbell Morgan wrote, he says, there I see in myself, I see God in myself and all the circumstances of my life. The intelligent master workman with the thought in which his mind that no one has ever seen. Myself of such a nature as to be able to express that thought for others to see. You realize that none of us here knows the mind of the Lord completely. Only as we read God's word and only as we meditate upon it can we reflect upon it. Goes on to say, as to all the circumstances of my life, turning wheels so swiftly, turning oftentimes as to make me afraid. presently to be set aside when the vessel is fashioned. Still moving pretty fast, to be honest, so I guess it's not finished work yet. Goes on to say, in this simple illustration, we have the principle to live by, the purpose for living, and the person who shapes our lives. The principle is universal in all our relationships to the potter, that is, to God. God has an intentional will in the affairs of men, to which I must acknowledge and to which I must submit. I have not been very submissive. I'm a rebel. But God knows how to deal with rebels. Believe you me. He knows how to apply pressure. Just in case you're wondering. I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to look like or what you're going to look like. We're tempted to complain that too often his intentional purposes in my life are too difficult, and so somehow God is unfair. Let's bear in mind that the Lord is in the process of saving all of us. And when we complain, we must confess that we simply don't see life from God's perspective. We don't see the infinite will at work with our finite understanding. I believe that God hears our complaints, so says G. Campbell Morgan. I agree. The purpose of God for our lives ultimately is summed up in bringing glory to God. How have I been doing? I wonder how God can get glory out of such a broken vessel. Goes on to say, we may not understand the mind of God in a certain matter. Isn't that true? Everything that's happened in this past week in your life, do you understand it all? But rest assured that God's ultimate purpose in shaping you and I, you and me, into his likeness is that you and I would be instruments that would proclaim his excellencies, his goodness. The one who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so God reveals through you and me the qualities of his grace and love. Will you accept that? Not just about yourself, but about someone else. That God is communicating his grace and love through the broken people around you in your life. We benefit from this pressure, time, and circumstance because we recognize at one time we were without shape and without beauty. And now the Master is, as his hand, and as the wheel is turning, he's shaping us into the beautiful vessels fit for the Master's use. The purpose. We now come to the person known to us as the potter, the shaper of life. Who is he? David says, what is man? But you'd have to admit, who is this Son of Man? Jesus expressed. he expressed to the man that was blind, he says, I am the one who speaks to you. Scriptures give us several answers. However, the answer that ties the relationship between God and man is in fact that God is love, as we are reminded in 1 John chapter 4. God is love. Thank you, Killian, for sharing that with us this morning. It is to his love that I can submit, but then again, do I submit to his love? It is to his love that I can find and understand, in measure at least, his purposes for my life. But still find myself on any given day asking, why am I here and what am I to do? Says, wait, I'm still working on you. And so he applies pressure from so many different angles in my life, and all of it out of his love for me. And Paul says, love of Christ, in one translation, constrains me. Another translation, compels me. See, unless you understand the principle, the purpose and the person found in the illustration of the potter and the clay, you and I will quickly lose perspective. And when we lose perspective, we believe that life is failing. We believe that God is failing. We believe that we are failing, when in fact, chances are, when we lose perspective, we are failing. God is never failing. He who knew no sin became a sin offering for us, a life in the cross. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul couldn't sort it all out. By the time he had written 2 Corinthians, he had been through many trials. Beaten, left for dead. And there was still more suffering ahead. God had told Ananias that before he met Saul, who became Paul, he's going to suffer many things. Likely we've understood by now that if we allow the world to shape us, we're going to be half-baked crackpots. Imagery of the potter. We'll be unfulfilled. The potters of the world have fields filled with broken vessels. The Mao Zedongs, the Lenins, and the Stalins. Even those who would claim that democracy is the answer can wreak havoc on our lives. Let's realize that the potter's field had been purchased at a price with the precious blood of Jesus. The book of Zechariah tells us about that. 30 pieces of silver. God came to the would-be potters of the world, and he's bought all the fields. He's gathered up all the broken vessels, all the wrecks. He says, all I need is time and circumstance. I will remake. I will reshape. And so the moment that you were persuaded in the love of Christ, the love of God, for God is love, you embarked on a time and circumstance ordained by God, who allows various things scripted, as it were, through choice. God says, I can use all the choices of men to accomplish my purposes. And so as you look forward, you realize that God is remaking you, shaping you out of his love for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Actually, we'll start back at verse 3. Even if our gospel is veiled, the world is seeking to veil the gospel. They're all just a bunch of crazies who believe in a God who doesn't exist, and a man who claims to have died for the world and has dealt with all their sin, when in fact there is no sin in our world, so says the world. It is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You and I were created in his image. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Although the gospel is veiled, although the gods of this age are seeking to keep people blind, we have the light. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The transformation in your life and mine is to be credited to the potter. He will credit you with your willingness to be shaped. But every once in a while we say, stop! Stop the wheel! Take your hand off! So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to use everything. And so we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. No! Don't give me over to death! So that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. And with that same spirit of faith, we also believe. We also believe. And therefore we tell others, our coworkers, our family members. We speak because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Mount perspective. The potter, the wheel, and the clay. Principle, the purpose, and the person. Much to learn in life. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for each one here. You know the difficulties and the challenges that different ones have faced in this past couple of years. There's a sense in which we would like it all to go away, and yet you have used it to shape us. And where we haven't been shaped the way that you'd hoped, you persist. You continue to use a variety of different circumstances in our lives, different pressures, different times, so that your light would shine through. Help us to sort that out. Help us to let you work out your purposes, even when we can't fully understand. Thank you for each one who seeks to be your light. May it bring the transformation. May others see your light shining in us and through us. Thank you for the body, believers around the world, those who are seeking to be that light, who know full well that you've permitted various things in our lives to accomplish your purposes. Thank you for these last 2 years. Although I confess, Lord, that many of the lessons I have failed to understand, may I continue to trust you, walk in the light of your truth, and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake. May the Lord bless you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you his peace. Amen.